everybody, and welcome to episode 313 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Cusnez. And yeah, I got some games and anime to talk about. And yeah, I don't really have much to talk about in this very beginning part. I am changing up the way I do vlogging in that I don't want to end up vlogging about stuff to talk about on the podcast. I want it to be more, I guess, personal in a way, and just try and maybe produce some more and do them instead of it being on a schedule where it's like, okay, I'm gonna always do this, but then I'm not gonna have really anything to say, is to do them when I feel very strongly that I have things to say. Even though being on a schedule is good, freeing myself up to do work and other stuff would be beneficial as well. So that's what's gonna be happening with the vlogs. And then today, you have the debate, whoop-de-doo, and you have the Cubs game, which all Cubs fans everywhere have already conceded defeat, because two losses in a row, two shutouts in a row, it's just like, okay, everything's over, we are doomed, we're never winning a World Series. I know, because my father is a Cubs fan, and he's already conceded defeat. So, have fun with that, Cubs fans. You know, I would say wait until tonight, at least. Because if you lose this game, having the most experienced pitcher in the postseason lose to the least experienced pitcher in the postseason, then, yeah, I'd say you're probably done. You're probably done. Den. But, yeah, I'm not too concerned about it because I haven't been a Cubs fan or a baseball fan for a very long time. But it would be nice if they won so that my father could be happy with all that nonsense. But other than that, I've been watching some movies, catching up on stuff, going through backlogs, and just trying to watch things that I've been meaning to watch for a long time. I watched Dom Hemingway, which was this little weird thing with Jude Law, and I don't know if anyone else of note was in it. The Dragon Lady from Game of Thrones is in it in a very small part. I think she did it potentially before the series even started, but I think the movie came out around the first season. It's just really weird, and it's broken up into these like little episodes, and I wasn't too fond of it. I thought it was kind of herky-jerky and had no congruency because of that, and I just didn't understand why I should care about anything happening, because it's just like, here, we threw you into this area. It starts off on a very, I don't even know how to talk about how it starts, but it's graphic in words, not in imagery, which could turn people off. I didn't care, just like, that almost kind of drew me in. I was like, this is crazy. This is a crazy way to start. But then it just really went nowhere, and it kind of made sense that that's the way it started, because it was just kind of ridiculous and all over the place. But I also watched, I'm getting through Chocolat, which I thought was more highly acclaimed than I guess it is, looking at some of the reviews, but it just feels like Footloose with chocolate instead, and sort of Natural Desires instead of dancing, and I think I like Footloose more. I was a bit surprised to see Johnny Depp comes in about halfway through, about an hour in, but it's okay. I wish it was a bit more colorful, but at the same time, I understand why the color palette is so muted, but it makes it kind of boring to watch, and I may just not be in the mood for it. And then I watched something else. There was something else I just watched that I was surprised by how much I liked it. I did watch something wild a little while ago, and I wasn't too key on that. But there was something else. I'm trying to think. It's driving me nuts. Why can't I think of what I watched? I did see Captain Fantastic, which was with Viggo Mortensen, where he lives in the woods with his children, and then they go to the city to go to his wife's funeral and get to see some of his regular family. And it was well done. A lot of good acting. It was very interesting to see the story and the way they portray these people who aren't very familiar with the customs of normalcy, what we look at as normalcy. I think it was all really well done, and it was a pleasant little movie that had some very serious points to it as well. I watched My Blind Brother, which is a movie where a blind man and his brother do these like charity event things, like they'll run a marathon or swim across this thing to raise awareness, and then this girl comes into play, and she had a one-night stand with the seeing brother, and then she, because she believes she killed her ex-boyfriend by dumping him because of his weird nipples, and then he did something that ended up leading to his death, she wants to do good things now to make up for that, so she ends up helping the blind brother, not knowing it's the brother of the one she slept with, and then, of course, the seeing brother and the girl end up realizing, oh, they actually really like each other, they fall in love, and the blind brother is kind of a dickhead, and, yeah, it is a decent little rom-com. And, yeah, I know there was something else, but I can't remember. Anyway, let's just get on with the video games and the anime. How about it, right? And Atlanta continues to be amazing. The last one, great. A little bit right, not at the very, very end, but just before the very end, hilarious. You have to see it, to believe it. But, yeah, let's get on with the rest of the show. So, it's going to be pretty light this week in terms of anime because I've only watched one new series, then watched a few episode 2s for shows that were on the bubble for me, and have yet to start any of the continuing series because I just kind of want to get through the muck and see if series that are on the bubble are going to be off and just dropped completely so that I can just kind of focus on what I'll be watching. And also, there's just like this really heavy bit of disappointment I have for this season. It's kind of put me into an anime funk where I'm like not super excited to watch anything in particular. And it's really disappointing because the previous seasons, they vary in terms of overall quality, but there was always at least one series that I could really latch on to, and some of them had multiple series. The winter season, which had Erased and Konosuba, it had Musajin no Phantom World, Rakugo, of course, which is my favorite of the season, of the year, still, of course, of that season, too. Dagashikashi, which was a bit of a controversial series because it was very much so it was just like product placement, the anime, but I enjoyed it. And you had continuing series in those seasons as well, like Durarara. But you also had Prince of Stride, and this is all the winter season. So it was a very, very strong season. And then the spring season I thought was fairly weak, but you had Flying Witch still in there, which is one of my favorite of the year as well. And a few other stuff. I mean, there were some more continuing ones, but Kiznaiver I thought was not too bad. Boku no Hero Academia was pretty good. Bungo Stray Dogs started in there, and of course Kabaneri was then and wasn't as great as I would have liked, but it was very, very pretty. And of course ReZero, for all the ReZero fans, that started in spring of this year. Then last season you had ReLife, which I really liked. It was a great surprise. And then I love 91 Days and Sweetness and Lightning. And then you had other surprises like Alderman in the Sky, and maybe another series or two, but they all had some days started there. I thought Fukujin no Mononokeen was a nice, pleasant surprise. And then you have this season, which so far Yuri on Ice is the only thing that kind of stands out as a, yeah, I can get behind this. But it's really disappointing so far. Hopefully I can get into the groove with some of the continuing series. I'm still really bummed that whatever, Fume no Amu or whatever that One series isn't apparently on Amazon in the States still. Maybe it will eventually come or never. But the stuff I have watched in the last week, I'll start with the new show that I watched, and that is Classicaloid. And this is just a very silly, family-friendly show where there's this town, I don't know, whatever, who cares about the town, but this girl, her parents, I think her mother has passed away, and then her father is kind of aloof somewhere. He's maybe a mad scientist or some crazy guy. They have this giant mansion that has this grand organ in there that doesn't work anymore, and there's all this musical stuff going on. There are two famous musicians, though I don't know if she knew who they were at first, but they're kind of crashing there because the father said they could crash there. But the building is being torn down. You find out that these two people crashing there are, I think it's Beethoven and someone, Mozart, I think. We later get at the end that Bach is, I guess, going to be the big antagonist of the series. But it's just very silly with grand musical numbers, a decent art style with thick lines, and it's just crazy. It kind of reminds me of Brave Beats. It'll be a silly show, nothing amazing, but perfectly fine, and a solid show for the entire family, especially if you're into music, I guess. But it was not terrible. They had their musical number, and then some construction equipment turned into robots, and they either fought each other or danced. I don't know, but it was crazy and okay. Now, the series I watched the second episodes of that were on the bubble are Shumatsu no Zeta, otherwise known as Zeta the Last Witch, Flip Flappers, All Out, and Brave Witches. Now, for all four of them, I dropped all four of them after the second episode. And I'm just going to go in order and be as brief as possible because there's not much to say. Zeta the Last Witch, it's really pretty, well animated, it's decent. And I think for people who want a series like that, it's probably like amazing for them. But it's just not doing anything for me. I can tell it's well done, but it's just not for me in any sense of the matter. And it has some of those like phallic-y sexual things going on, which aren't a huge problem. But at some points, they look like, oh my God, this series could go a little bit too ridiculous in that sense, even though I've watched things that are like blatantly, but like the false sense of subtlety or whatever is annoying at times. And then you have Flip Flappers, which can be very pretty at times, but I actually do like the art style a lot, because in this episode you got a lot of color, a lot of crazy backgrounds and vibrancy. It has a bit of like Rolling Girls aesthetic to it, as well as sort of Madoka and just the kookiness of the visuals at times. But I just don't understand the point of anything going on in the story. I don't know what is going on, really. And I don't like the characters. It seems like it wants to be a family-friendly, a kid-friendly series, but then it has these parts where they're battling these two girls, Papika and whatever her name is, and their clothes are getting torn off bit by bit. And I'm like, this is weird, because for the most part I get a sense that this is a kid-friendly show, but then you're slowly stripping away their clothing, and that's not something I would associate with a kid-friendly show. And I think some people have also voiced this concern because of when it airs in Japan, so I may not be the only one thinking this, but I just don't understand it all. And it gives me a bit of a Ponyo vibe, and I could not stand Ponyo, because Papika, in this episode in particular, she just kept nagging the hell out of the other character, saying her name over and over again. It's amazing that she said her name so many times and I can't remember her name, but it was just, maybe it's because I tried blocking it out because of how annoying it was. She would not listen. It was, I would have, like, if I could and I was in the series, I would have killed Papika because she was driving me nuts. If I was the girl, I would have killed her because she's an annoying brat, expletive, expletive, expletive. And then All Out, the rugby anime, just it did nothing for me in the second episode. I was thinking maybe they would turn it up when they start doing the sport and everything, but it just feels without personality, without character. I don't care about your two main characters. I don't root for them. It's not like Days where I can't remember his name now, but he is so easy to root for, and All Out doesn't have that. I don't care about any of the characters in the series, and the bits of the sport they've shown aren't that engrossing, and it's been a pretty disappointing thing, because I was hoping it could be something really fun, and it just isn't. And then Brave Witches, it just did nothing. It was like super boring, and some stuff happened, there was battling, and it's just like, okay, this I can tell now is just going to be a very subpar series. And yeah, I dropped it. I think I was potentially thinking about just ending the episode early. I think I was thinking about dropping both Flip Flappers, All Out, and Brave Witches in between the episodes and not even finishing the episodes, because I was just like, I already know I'm not going to dig this. Azetta, I was like, can it do something to grab me with like a surprise at the end? And no, it didn't. There was like not so much a surprise, but a thing happened at the end, but nothing for me. So it's a pretty disappointing week once again for anime, and I'm hoping that maybe some of the continuing series just like pull me out of this funk, because I don't like being in this funk. I haven't returned to the melancholy either. Hopefully watching some more Yuri and some Days and Bungo Stray Dogs, etc., will make me feel all good and warm inside with the anime. But right now, it's just been super depressing in the way a disappointing season of anime can be. And I seem to be in somewhat of a minority, because I've heard a lot of people say it's a really, really strong season, and I don't see that. I guess I could maybe see that it's strong in that it does seem like there's a decent amount of variety in terms of what's out there, but even if there's a lot out there and a lot of different type of things, I don't think that matters if the majority of them aren't that good, which is just how I feel personally. But hopefully y'all are enjoying it more than me, because I don't want anyone to feel the way I feel about anime right now, which is just sad all over. It's been a pretty big week video game wise. I've got Battlefield 1, Gears of War 4, Mafia 3, a little bit of Overwatch, and then a little indie game I've played a good chunk of called Manual Samuel, which I got a code for. So I'll start with Battlefield 1. Battlefield 1, which came out for early enlisters on Tuesday, the 18th. And, of course, it hit early access last week, which is how I've played it. You get 10 hours, and you get to play the first story arc. And, of course, like the tutorial mission. And then a good chunk of the multiplayer. So, the first thing I'll say about Battlefield 1 is that it's more Battlefield, at least in terms of the multiplayer. You have these grand, big, large areas. And then you have your smaller ones for Team Deathmatch. And when you get on a really good team, it feels great. It's some of the best Battlefield I've played in a long time. The destructibility is really nice, though it's not like Bad Company where structures are completely destructible. It's very clear, especially on some, that you can't break them down at all. You will never be able to completely destroy them. But it's a lot better than previous games, and it's the closest thing to Battlefield Bad Company since Bad Company. And it feels really good. It looks great. I play it on the Xbox One, and it runs really well. I didn't experience any lag. Of course, you know, there was a limited number of people playing at that time, so there could be issues now or when it officially comes out on Friday. But it felt really good. It looked really good. I liked a lot of the maps. I especially liked some of the Team Deathmatch maps, which were the smaller ones. There was one that was in like a foresty area that was just really, really crazy, and a lot of stuff goes on there. There's a on certain maps, I think all the maps have these, but some have sentry drops or fire drops, which either turn you into like this big hulking Gatling gun holding guy with a lot of armor, or a flamethrower. And on that map, you have the flamethrower, and shit just gets crazy. There's a crashed ship there, and it's very easy to find hiding spots or just kind of be like, wait, who just went by me? It's a really fun map. And a lot of the maps felt really good. I still can't fly at all, but it is a Battlefield game. So if you are on a bad team, then it's not going to be that great. And for me, the way I tend to play these is that if I'm on a bad team, I'll quit after the match because it's just going to be more of the same because you're just going to be on the same team. But if I find a good team with people who actually do their jobs, like one of the most annoying things in all these games, and it's been this way since the very beginning, medics who don't revive teammates is incredibly annoying. I play as a medic primarily. I occasionally do assault. I haven't really messed around with the support class, I think it is, which is your heavy weapon gunner and, I guess, tank dude. They might have the wrench, but I think the medic has a wrench too. I did a little bit of sniping, but I primarily played Team Deathmatch because that just felt really, really good. And, yeah. When you're on a good team, it feels great. When you're not on a good team, it doesn't feel as good. But the highs are some of the highest highs I've experienced in a Battlefield game in a long time. And I'm just talking about the multiplayer here. And the lows are just the typical Battlefield lows, where if you end up with bad teammates, then it's going to be a bad experience. But that's like any game. So the single player, which I played all of what's in the early access bit. So you have your first mission, which a lot of people saw, which is just, you know, you're not going to be able to survive. And when you die, you end up transferring to another person. And like I said before, I really like that mechanic. I wish it was in the entire game, but it's not. And I can understand why. But I thought it was really cool. It's a great introduction. And then the first real mission that goes across, I think, five different missions. They're like little stories, war stories, I think they're called, and then this one was across five different missions. You take over you control a tank driver, and occasionally you'll get out. I think there are two missions specifically where you're entirely out of the tank. One is to guide it through this foggy, foresty area, and another is to get parts for it in like this little village at night. And I didn't love the tank bits that much because I just don't like being in the tank that much. I much prefer being a soldier and combating that wise. Being in the tank, you get to see a lot of explosions and all that and feel super overpowered. But I just prefer being a regular soldier. I prefer that gameplay. So that's not my jam. So I'm looking forward to the future missions, but the on-ground combat felt really good, looked really good, just like the multiplayer. And what surprised me the most, and this may be the, I mean, Bad Company had its charm and just how silly and crazy it is, but I may find, it depends on the rest of it, that this single-player campaign, Battlefield 1's campaign, maybe my favorite Battlefield campaign to date. Because what I found really surprising, and they kind of gave this impression off of the few videos they've posted before the game came out and the early access bit came out, but it came across like they were going to maybe take it more serious, and that was very scary because a lot of war games have tried to take things serious and then they still just fall flat on their face. But it's done a good job of delivering a serious war story, because they don't play up the like hoorah, crazy, you know, try to make light of war and death and all that and make it seem fun. Even though you're enjoying the combat and the actual gameplay, the story itself is very grounded in a sad reality of what happened during World War One. The war story with the tank bit felt a lot like Fury, which is a really, really good movie that came out a few years ago. Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, Logan Lerman, the guy who plays Punisher, and some other people. But it just takes itself really seriously, and it doesn't fall flat on its face. It's just a really surprising, a very pleasant surprise for me, because that was what I was most concerned about and the thing I was most looking forward to, because I figured, you know, the multiplayer, having played the beta as well, it would feel like Battlefield, and I like Battlefield games. But the single player is something like, what is this going to be like? And I really like the way it's handling the story and the way it's putting weight to it all and not just being lighthearted and making light of war and death, which is something a lot of games do, or are trying to play it up like an action movie. You will do things that you wouldn't be able to in a real life story. It's like, okay, you're still a super powered soldier, just in how you're able to take on a whole bunch of enemies and just do it all by yourself for the most part. But it's surprisingly good, and I'm looking forward to playing more of it when I get the full game on Friday, which is still one of the stupidest, weirdest things I don't understand. Okay, early access for this game is a Tuesday, which is the usual release date for every game, for regular games, and Friday is the late whatever. It's so weird. And then, moving on, Gears of War 4... I have not played it since stopping around the, I think, maybe end-ish area of Act 2, and it just wasn't doing much for me. Didn't care about the story, didn't really care about the characters. The characters were okay, but I've never cared enough about the story to care that much about them. And the gameplay felt like Gears, but it didn't do anything new, and I just really didn't like the enemies. I know it changes, I believe, with Act 3, but the robot enemies were just really, really boring with repetitive dialogue that was at first kind of like, ha, 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 and then just like nothing. And I don't know if I mentioned it here on one of my vlogs, but it just feels like a better playing Binary Domain with way less character and personality, which in this sense, you know, not always I would say this, but I prefer having more character and personality than, you know, better gameplay and better visuals. But I'll probably go back to that at some point. I do want to mess around with the Horde mode at the very least, and maybe the multiplayer just to see what it's like, even though I don't think I will like it. And then I've been playing Mafia 3, which is one hell of a high-low game with some really amazing highs and some really ridiculous lows. The storytelling, the story itself, the voice acting is all top-notch. Fantastic. Some of the best I've experienced in a long time. But other than that, though, the music is probably my favorite part of the game and why I've played as much as I have, because I just enjoy listening to the music. Even though it's weird in that there are only 3 radio stations, yet there is a lot of music in there, because at first I thought, okay, there's not that much music in here because I kept hearing the same songs, but then even now still I'll hear songs that I haven't heard in my entire playthrough of the game to up to that point, and I'm like, oh wow, this song is in there as well, and I'm like constantly blown away by some of the songs I hear that just surprised me. Like one of my all-time favorite songs, Del Shannon's Runaway, when I heard that I was like, oh my god, yes. And they have multiple songs from artists. There's Johnny Cash's, I think they have Right, they know they have Ring of Fire, and then I think Folsom City Blues. Is that what it's called? That doesn't sound right. Then they have Rolling Stones. I don't remember what the name of the song is. Excuse me while I, whatever, introduce myself. I don't know. I'm not a huge Rolling Stone fan, but then they have Paint It Black, which I love, which they play during a certain cutscene that was just like, yes, I'm all in for this. But other than the great music and great story, it's really lackluster. It's average to mediocre. The gameplay is okay. It is not that great. It's not terrible, but it doesn't feel that good either. The visuals on Xbox One, at least, are pretty damn terrible. It looks like a 360 PS3 game. The texture quality is bordering on pathetic for a current gen game. It's really bad, sometimes embarrassingly so at times. And there's pop-in, there are weird screen flickerings, there's occasional frame rate drops, and it just looks really bad at times. The lighting is all over the place. I don't know what the hell is going on with the lighting. We're just like, okay, at this point, you know, it's going to just be pitch black, and then there's going to be like a fog coming in for no reason, and then it's going to be really bright, and I'm like, what is going on? And the thing, I mean, there's also like no, that's not quick travel, fast travel, which can make the game a lot more tedious than it should be, because there are things where it's just like going back and forth. It just gets kind of annoying at times. The mission design, while the big set piece missions are pretty fun, the ones you do in between are all pretty much the same. So it becomes very repetitive in that sense, where you're just like, okay, I have to break up this racket. So first I'm going to take out some of the enforcers. Then I'm going to destroy some of this property, rob this place. And then I'm going to damage this thing enough so I can go and confront the mini underboss, whatever, and just keep doing that over and over again until you reach a story point where it's like, okay, now I can go and whatever, take this person down, and then I can divvy up the assets to one of my three underbosses who, and this isn't so much a problem with the story because great stories have this, and that's sometimes the case, is just that I don't really like any of the characters, which is something I'd say about another great story like Breaking Bad, which I didn't really like anyone in particular. I thought Jesse was someone to root for. You wanted him to get out of it, but I always thought, why can't I think of his name now? But the Breaking Bad star was a horrible, horrible person, and I wanted him to die. I'd never at all rooted for him because he was a terrible, selfish piece of garbage. But Cassandra, who is your Haitian underboss, she's just awful. I can't stand her. Burke is the Irishman who is pretty annoying and not very respectful. And then Vito is all right. He's fine. I think the one character, I don't really like Lincoln Clay either, who you play. The one character I think I do like, who is very minimal, and I don't think she's going to have much of a role at all, is, I believe her name is Nikki, Burke's daughter. It seems like there's something going on with her and Lincoln Clay, but she also just has an enjoyable, pleasant personality. But I just am super disappointed by the majority of the game, and it's the story and the music that keeps me going back for more. And I do want to point out something that I thought was really... Okay, before I point out this one mission that was just like, this is ridiculous. You can whistle to attract enemies, but throughout the game, when I'm driving around or walking around, I just hear whistling randomly. And I don't know why that is. If that's a bug or if it's just like, hey, we want to have him whistle at you for no reason. But there's just whistling all the time, every few minutes or so. Little whistle here, little whistle there, little whistle everywhere. And I don't know what's going on. But there's a mission for Vito, Fish Gotta Eat, where I had a chase after this guy in a car. It was a forced part of the mission. There's no way to not get him in the car. And it was a very frustrating mission because I would knock him, I would eventually chase him, and they have a very forgiving catch-up so that you never really fall too far behind, or if you do, you can catch up unless you're doing something completely unrelated to the mission and just ignore it. But I would eventually get him out of his car, shoot the hell out of him, and then he would get into another car as if he was bulletproof. And I thought maybe it was just forcing me to have to follow him to a certain area, but that didn't end up being the case, because eventually I shot him enough so that he was down and then I could confront him, and then I think I ended up killing him. But it was just ridiculous because there were a bunch of other mobsters chasing after him, shooting after him, and the whole time, no cop ever intervened. There was no cops anywhere at all, which just seemed kind of ridiculous when cops are all over the place in the regular game. And I don't like the racism from the cops specifically in the game, because even if you're in a black neighborhood, they always seem to focus on you. Like, there's something extra special about you and your blackness. Where it's like, what are you doing here, boy? I'm like, well, I'm just another black person in this area. Why are you stopping to look at me? And if there's a cop just by himself, I will always just, like, smash his face in the sidewalk, because it drives me nuts that they just single me out every single time. But, like, the racism in the game, other than that, is taken seriously and done well. And it has a few things going for it really, really well. And then, you know, this disappointing aspect of it, which is the actual game itself. So that's a bit disappointing, but some of the best music in any game ever, licensed music. And then I did play a little bit of Overwatch with the Halloween update and the Franken Junkenstein's Revenge or something, which is a horde-ish type mode. Really quick. I think it took me 10 minutes. I only played one match so far. And you get a bunch of regular, I think, robotic type of enemies coming out after you. And then you just take them down, protect this door, and eventually you'll get Halloween-themed versions of a specific few of the characters you can play as. And you take them down. They're more high-powered, like little mini-bosses. And then you keep doing this until, I don't know if there's like a timer or just a select number of enemies. I couldn't really tell if there was anything on screen letting me know, like, oh, this is wave 12 of 15 or something. But it didn't take too long. You can choose the difficulty, easy, medium, hard. And it was fun. It's a mode that I wish would be in the game proper, and that it wouldn't be like this small. I hope they add this as a proper mode and it isn't just part of this particular, I forget what they're called. They're not rival things, but the little modes they have all the way at the right side of the screen. So they change them up, and usually they're just like, okay, in this one you can only play as this character or these characters, and you can only use this type of power, etc. And in this case, it's a completely different mode, and I really like it and hope it sticks around. And yeah, Overwatch, still super fun, still super pretty. Definitely worth picking up if you haven't already. But that's pretty much it in terms of games. Super pleasantly surprised by Battlefield 1. And then disappointed by Gears of War 4 and Mafia 3. And then Overwatch is Overwatch. Oh yeah, Manuel Samuel. I forgot to talk about this. How did I forget this? But I got the code for it. And it's this weird adventure game where you're playing this little rich kid who ends up getting killed. And you don't really like sign anything with the devil, but you come to an agreement with the Grim Reaper, and if you can survive a day in the life of your beat up body, which you have to control in many different weird ways, not super quapish, but kind of like borderline quapish, then you'll be able to regain your life. And I've played through, I think, about 2/3 of it, maybe a little bit more. And it's funny, not overly so. It has a decent bit of voice acting. The story is serviceable. But it can be tedious at times, because some of the segments go on for a little bit too long, like this driving segment, which just goes on and on and on. And I was like, oh my God, will this just end? Because that part was just kind of super aggravating. But you control your legs with the triggers. I'm playing on Xbox One. Then you have to breathe in with the X button and then breathe out with the B button. You have to blink with the A button. You control your hands with the left and right bumpers. And then I don't know if there's anything else. Your back will occasionally go out, which if it does, you have to push up on the D-pad. And you just have to worry about all these things while then also partaking in menial tasks. And I'm not sure what's going to happen in the very end or how it's going to go, but it's been very fun and silly in its own right. But at the same time, it still feels, even as I'm this far into it, a little bit too hand-holdy. And I wish there was a bit more experimentation and room for me to play with the controls and the ridiculousness of it all. But it's very linear and straightforward. You can occasionally go in the wrong direction, but nothing really exists in the wrong direction for you to do. But it's weird and quirky. I think it's $10. And on sale for maybe like $7.99. I know it's on sale. Don't know how long that's going to continue last on Xbox One. But it's worth looking at if you want something weird and different. Because it's not too shabby. I dig the art and the voice acting. And it's different. And there's always room for different. That is officially it, video game wise. Oh, I just can't wait for more Battlefield. I want Battlefield now. I finished the trial so that I'd get whatever stupid battle packs. I don't understand battle packs either. It's like, okay, you get this skin for a gun. It's like, how do I equip this skin? Which gun is it for again? I was like, whatever. But yeah, Battlefield 1, so good.
Insane Ninja! Shing!
And that will do it for this week's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Genez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomelis, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. I am on PSN, the Kush 3, that is the KUSH number 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find not only this podcast, but the vlogs I do, the art I do, the other podcasts that we do over at Pixelated Sausage. And if you like the art I do, you can go over to pxsart.com and get yourself a print or two. And of course, if you haven't already, please do go to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, because it really does help. And if you want to help out with a buck or two every month, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs. If you'd like to contact the podcast or anything in general, just go and email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com, or you can leave a comment or tweet at me, etc. All those ways can get your voice heard. Oh, yeah, that will definitely do it. I hope you all enjoy this very tired episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. It's been one of those weeks.
Okay, bye.